No one can keep a secret forever. Mina Pahela is a devout Mormon whose life revolves around church and doing good for her neighbors.
People said she was the heart and soul of her community and her neighborhood. Loving, kind, would do anything for anyone.
But beneath the compassion lies a dangerous secret.
If you just keep stacking things up in your life, sooner or later that avalanche is going to bury you.
A trail of money and lies leads to an unlikely murderer.
There's no doubt that there are people that will absolutely kill to keep a secret.
And reveals the ultimate betrayal.
I'm through!
It would just eat at your soul and tear you away.
She's trying to take our money.
If you've got a secret where you think the only way out is to commit murder, that's a dangerous secret.
Soon, every dirty little secret will be revealed. It's the spring of 2001 in Pleasant Grove, Utah, and Mina Pahela is living her American dream. Mina immigrated to the U.S. 26 years ago with little more than ambition and hopes for a better life. Now, after decades of honest hard work, all those hopes have been realized.
Mina was doing very well for herself here in America. She had several successful businesses. She lived in a beautiful home in a beautiful area.
She was worth several million dollars, and she was a success in everything she had done. I can't even imagine the difference between what she left in the Philippines and the lifestyle she was able to maintain here because of her success.
A devout Mormon, Mina chose to live in Pleasant Grove largely because of the town's thriving Latter-day Saint community.
I think a lot of people move here because they want to live near people with common goals, common interests, common beliefs. It's a very faith-oriented, trusting community. Everyone kind of knows everyone.
She had a lot of friends, both in business and in her personal life. Not only those people that she was close to, her neighbors and that, but then she had friends that she did things with that were also members of the church.
When Mina's not tending to her real estate company and various other businesses, she's often volunteering at church with her friends.
Mina Pahela was very actively involved in her LDS church ward, which is basically a small church organization on a neighborhood level. She volunteered in many capacities there.
She was God-fearing. You know, her faith was important to her, and I think that one of the tenets of that faith is helping others. You know, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and I think that she lived that to the fullest.
Quiet and dignified, Mina's a private person, but she doesn't hesitate to open her home or her checkbook when someone's down on their luck.
She was a very generous woman, very giving woman, that she saw the best in others, and she really did everything she could to help people in need.
Everything that we've heard about Mina Pahela is just what a tremendous person she was. How nice she was, how giving she was, how caring she was.
Too bad this wonderful life is about to come to an abrupt and tragic end. April 25th, 2001. Police respond to a report of an unconscious woman in a parked car.
Ma'am?
It's Mina Pahela. At first, it looks as if she's simply fallen asleep. But then police notice the blood.
I see blood. She is bleeding. She is not responsive. I need backup immediately.
She had a gunshot wound in her head. She was slumped over and covered by a blanket in her own vehicle.
The gun that killed her is nowhere to be found.
You can rule out suicide pretty quickly because the weapon's not there.
That leaves you with a deliberate killing.
It was obvious to us that there was foul play involved.
Please, please.
Murders are rare in Pleasant Grove, but petty crimes have been on the rise. While the car doesn't appear to have been ransacked, it's well known in town that Mina is a wealthy woman. Perhaps she was the victim of a robbery gone terribly wrong.
Where's your money at?
Here.
You got anything else?
Yes.
We were investigating a lot of thefts and burglaries and robberies. A lot of people think they're under a protective bubble and things like this can't ever happen here.
But there's an alarming piece of evidence at the scene that seems to rule out a random robbery. A burned rag sticking out of the gas tank. It seems whomever killed Mina was trying to blow up her car and destroy all the evidence of the crime.
As soon as police saw this rag stuffed in the gas tank and it had been set on fire, it was clear to officers and investigators this wasn't a random act.
If someone had confronted her to try to steal her money and then ended up killing her, why would they attempt to dispose of the body? Why wouldn't they just run away from the scene? Because there would be nothing to tie them to her at that point.
Just the fact that Mina was shot in the head, that's not common for a purse snatching. The fact that somebody has tried to severely compromise the evidence, if not destroy the crime scene by setting the car on fire. Yeah, you've got a planned homicide with somebody lying in wait and then going to some effort to dispose of the body.
But who would want to murder Mina Pahala? The community reels from the senseless and barbaric nature of the crime.
People were just shocked and outraged that somebody who had no indication of any sordid behavior in her own life, just a woman who seemed to be minding her own business, who was good to others. I think people were just shocked that something like that could happen in a small, conservative community like that.
We all like to believe that we have some control over our lives and that we can be safe if we stay out of bad neighborhoods and avoid dangerous things. Nobody likes to believe that you can get in your car and there's somebody waiting in your car and they're gonna put a bullet in your head and there's no reason to expect it.
I think it's always shocking, especially in a quiet town like Pleasant Grove, to hear that someone's murdered and the circumstances regarding the murder, to be shot in the head and left in her car.
I think it was extremely shocking because she was just someone that lived a really quiet life, would not have had contact with anyone that would have had any reason to be violent against her, certainly.
A spouse would normally be the first person police would suspect, but in this case, it seems unlikely.
Mina was married at one point. I don't know if that ended in divorce, but at the time that we were investigating this case, we were told that he had remained in the Philippines.
Investigators also learn that Mina has a grown daughter. She lives in another state and hasn't had much contact with her mother in the last few years. But she would stand to inherit millions from her mother's death. Could Mina's daughter be behind the murder? Police reach out to her.
We were able to speak with Mina's daughter and speak to her about Mina and try to get some more information on Mina.
Yeah, my mother and I, we weren't really close, but I still loved her.
She was distraught when she learned of her mother's death, and she had a great deal of love and care and respect for her.
I wouldn't know anyone who would want to kill her.
I found her to be a very pleasant person. She was very interested in solving this issue with her mother's death and was very regretful of how the relationship had been at the time of her death.
If there's anything you need, I'll try to help, of course.
Mina's daughter tells investigators that she was at her home in another state when the crime was committed. Police quickly rule her out as a suspect. But if a family member isn't behind Mina Pahala's murder, who is? According to her friends, Mina lived alone, had no enemies, and was deeply respected by her church community.
She was the most beautiful person.
This is pretty tragic. About Mina.
Everybody loved Mina.
Nothing about her would suggest that she was really at risk to be a homicide victim.
She definitely was not leading a lifestyle that you would suspect someone like Mina would be a victim of a crime like this.
But someone in Pleasant Grove clearly wanted Mina Pahala dead. And Mina was such an extremely private person that it's difficult for detectives to come up with any promising leads.
She was kind of hard to get to know. She was kind of reserved. She didn't have a lot of really close friends in the neighborhood, but everyone in the neighborhood knew her.
Could Mina's quiet, devout exterior be concealing a secret? One that somehow led to her death?
It took us some time to figure out who she was and what she did and what she was involved in.
Sure enough, when detectives delve into Mina's private life, they discover she was keeping a secret. And when it's revealed, investigators agree someone might have thought it was worth killing for. Money isn't the only thing this Mormon millionaireess was hiding.
If you don't sign, we have no business.
If you were able to earn Mina's trust, she would trust you with anything, but you didn't want to violate that trust.
This is my deal, and you will listen to me.
Wealthy businesswoman Mina Pahala has been found shot to death in her car. But the more investigators dig into the quiet millionaire's life, the more shocked they are to learn how little people actually know about her.
It was difficult for the department to figure out who Mina Pahala was. She was somebody who was just a good person that didn't stand out, that minded her own business and did her own thing.
Shooting Mina, then trying to set her car on fire, could indicate a crime of passion. Mina doesn't appear to be dating anyone, but is it possible she might not be the pious single woman her church friends say she was? Could her murder possibly be a lover's quarrel gone wrong?
Police would obviously look at, was she involved in any sort of a relationship?
Nothing's off limits. I mean, you have to explore every possibility. Could Mina have some secret life? Maybe she had another person in her life that was important to her. Maybe she had a lover.
Was Mina hiding a secret relationship from her church and friends? One that ultimately got her killed.
Was she talking to anybody? Smile on her face when she's leaving church, getting on the phone, anything like that?
Police question Mina's friends about the possibility of a secret affair.
Oh, no.
But come up empty. No one seems to know anything about a man in her life.
She was a pretty private person, so.
She simply worked and volunteered at her church and was a good member of the community, and that's kind of what her life was.
If Mina is having a furtive love affair, she's kept it secret from everyone who knows her. But why?
Some secrets are very dangerous. There's no doubt that there are people that will absolutely kill to keep a secret.
Perhaps the nature of this relationship was the reason Mina had been such a private person.
If you lead a private life, it's almost by definition harder to look into it. That's why they're called secrets.
That's what we deal with in law enforcement, is trying to get through those secrets and ultimately find the truth.
But try as they might, detectives can't unearth anything on a mystery lover.
There was just no evidence that Mina had been involved with any kind of relationship.
Police can't rule out the possibility of a clandestine love affair. But without more to go on for now, they turn their attention to the wealthy woman's various businesses.
Since she was a successful businesswoman, Obviously, they wanted to look at her business dealings to see if there was anyone or anything that stood out.
This looks good.
It turns out Mina controls a vast business empire spread throughout town.
Looks like we're gonna make a lot of money together.
I believe so.
She owns rental properties, commercial real estate, and even an exclusive retirement community.
They started looking to see if she'd had any disputes with anyone that she'd been in business with.
We spoke to several of Mina's business partners.
Now, I understand that she was pretty good at what she does in terms of business.
Well, she had a lot of enemies. I mean, I guess she was a ruthless business person.
And tried to get kind of a baseline on Mina and what she was about and what type of business deal she'd been involved in.
She screwed me over on a deal.
We didn't want to leave any leaf unturned.
And it seems this devout Mormon was much more than just a charitable neighbor.
I'm in charge here.
She was also a tough-as-nails negotiator.
This is my deal.
You know the original deal that we set up. This is not what we had.
The type who could potentially have made plenty of enemies.
I have learned you didn't want to cross Mina. It was hard to gain her trust. And if you ever violated that trust, you were done.
This is just not the contract we talked about.
Well, if we don't sign, we don't have any business.
And she had, over the years, built up her business by being a pretty hard-nosed businesswoman to the point she was worth several million dollars.
If Mina made her millions by being tough and shrewd, could her death be the result of a business deal gone sour?
She had maybe alienated some people because of her hard-nosed business tactics.
I want my money.
When you're a wealthy, successful business person, sometimes you may have had to play hardball. You know, if someone's lost their business because of difficult negotiations with you, that might be a motive.
You need to take care of this as soon as possible, or you will be extremely sorry.
There were people that we did question that had been involved in business practices with her that felt that Mina had profited more from it than they had. There were some grudges there.
Yes, yes, she ripped me off.
But were these grudges worth killing over? Police don't think so.
We questioned all of those individuals, and nothing led us to believe they had anything to do with her death.
At a loss, investigators start questioning the people on Mina's payroll, looking for any disgruntled workers. But Mina's employees all seem to have genuine affection for their boss.
She was sweet and generous.
And feel her loss deeply. One in particular seems to be taking Mina's death especially hard. Her right-hand woman, Carrie Faye Brown.
You know, she was more of a friend to me than a boss.
Everything we know about Carrie immediately after Mina's death is that she's distraught and extremely upset. Mina has become a very important part of Carrie's life.
Yeah, we were pretty close.
Carrie tells detectives that Mina had been almost like a second mother to her.
She looked after me. She took care of me.
Carrie's just had a baby a few days ago, and Mina was a huge support all through her pregnancy.
Carrie and Mina, from day one, got along well. They confided in each other, they took care of each other, and a fast friendship developed.
Mina looked at her a little bit as a daughter, you know, someone that she would help, that she was involved with her personal life.
Detectives ask Carrie if she can think of anyone among Mina's employees who might be harboring a secret motive for murder. But Carrie says it's not her employees who are keeping secrets. It was Mina. And it was a deeply personal one.
She was pretty sick.
Mina had cancer, and it was serious.
She did have a very large tumor that was in her stomach area.
Mina, being intensely private and keeping to herself, I don't believe she told very many people that she was dealing with cancer.
Detectives wonder, is there a connection between Mina's cancer and her murder? Carey's response will finally give police their first suspect.
I think that she was jealous of our relationship.
Broken family ties may lead to a secret vendetta.
I'm your daughter, not her.
If you've got a secret where you think the only way out is to commit murder, that's a dangerous secret.
Police investigating Mina Pahela's murder have learned from her friend and employee, Carrie Faye Brown, that Mina was secretly battling cancer at the time of her death. But is that connected to her murder? If so, how?
I was actually living with her and taking care of her the past couple months.
Carrie tells police she moved in with Mina after her cancer was diagnosed.
Carrie moved in with Mina to kind of care for her, help her get to and from appointments. She was being a support system to Mina.
Just eat some of this, okay?
She says Mina was grateful to have a friend and confidant by her side and began treating Carrie almost like family.
She was a good enough friend to Mina that, and Mina trusted her enough that she had invited her to come and stay in her home. So I think that tells us they were fairly close.
By all accounts, it was a mother-daughter type relationship. Carrie had kind of taken the role of a surrogate daughter to Mina.
But this mother-daughter relationship may have been a threat to someone else. Mina's real daughter.
Her daughter was basically out of the picture. There were some indications that there were some hard feelings between the daughter and Mina, but it wasn't a good relationship.
Police had initially ruled Mina's daughter out as a suspect, but now they wonder, could she have been angry over her mother's bond with Carrie?
Mina had kind of adopted Carrie as a surrogate daughter, and it would stand to reason that there was some feelings about that.
I can see where the daughter might have feelings of jealousy or feeling like this other person is crossing the line, stepping over from friend to family, and she's already got a daughter.
And Mina's affections may not have been the only thing they were in competition over. With Mina gravely ill, it seems millions of dollars in inheritance could have been on the line, too.
Her friends seemed to think that maybe she was going to make some changes in her will. She did have some legal documents in her vehicle at the time that indicated maybe she was thinking about changing her will.
At the crime scene, police had recovered documents used when drafting a will. Could this mean Mina was reconsidering where her fortune would go? A change to Mina's will could have spelled bad news for her daughter.
Mom, I'm your daughter.
But you didn't do anything for me when I was sick.
If her daughter feared she was about to be cut out of her inheritance, could she have taken drastic steps to ensure it didn't happen?
Carrie is my friend.
You better not give her a dime.
When you see on the horizon the loss of an enormous amount of money, it's a motive to kill.
Are you gonna put her on the will?
Carrie is like family to me.
Mom, it's my money.
The fact that they had been estranged and there was kind of this, you know, rumor going around that Mina might be changing her will did cause us to wonder if this was something that her daughter knew about.
Police know that Mina's daughter lives in another state and wasn't in town when her mother was gunned down. But it doesn't completely rule her out as a suspect. Could she have hired someone to do her bidding? Police bring her in for questioning.
Tell me a little bit about your relationship with your mother.
We didn't have a good relationship.
We had to look at everyone that was around Mina's life.
Is there anything you want to tell us? Anything that we're missing here?
You start finding out that they don't get along. She does have quite a bit of money, and maybe there's something there.
I haven't talked to her, but I didn't do it.
Police can't find any way to connect the daughter to the crime. But if Mina was truly changing her will, perhaps someone else wanted her dead for her money. What about the woman who pointed the finger at her daughter in the first place? What does anyone really know about Carrie Faye Brown?
As we looked through the case and the directions the case could go, we're looking for motives as to who could have killed Mina. And Carrie Brown was an employee of the murder victim. To use the word suspect might be a little strong, but we were very interested in what exactly she was doing at the time of Mina Pahaya's death.
Detectives start digging into Mina's closest employee. They learn Carrie was down on her luck when she first moved to Utah a year ago. But her luck changed when she landed a job with Mina.
This is perfect. Yeah.
Carrie had some issues in her past life that Mina had kind of just reached out to her and wanted to help her. She'd kind of taken her under her wing.
You're smart, you're strong. We can do this.
I think Mina really kind of related to that a little bit because of her background. And I think she felt very much that she wanted to help Carrie out.
When Mina saw how well Carrie handled her new responsibilities, she quickly promoted her.
She worked her way up to basically being an administrator in the company.
You're gonna be really strict on you following my lead because this is how I do business. So this is really important.
Okay.
But I'm sure you can handle it.
It was surprising how fast Carrie was able to earn her trust because that was unusual for Mina. She really befriended Carrie.
I'm really impressed how quickly you're picking it up.
Well,
really,
I'm happy because I love working for you.
Oh, great.
But soon, Mina became more than just Carrie's employer. She quickly became a shoulder to lean on when Carrie got pregnant.
I'm always there for you.
It all makes Carrie seem like an unlikely suspect.
Everything that we were hearing from Carrie and from other witnesses in the case was that they had a great relationship. There didn't appear to be a strong motive with Carrie at all.
What's more, Carrie had just given birth. She'd had an emergency C-section just 4 days before Mina's murder and was still in the hospital at the time of the crime.
It would make you rule her out. There's no way that a person that just had a C-section could be involved in a murder like this.
That just seemed extremely unlikely because of her medical condition, and that was the biggest thing really that made her not a suspect.
But while Carrie's C-section takes her off the suspect list, she still ends up providing investigators with their first solid lead. It seems there's someone in Carrie's past, someone with a violent temper, who may have wanted Mina out of the way for good.
Please put the gun down.
A toxic love affair may hold the key to solving the case.
You got nowhere to go. I am the one that makes the decisions.
She had a lot of skeletons in her closet that she was trying to deal with.
I'm through.
Here we go.
I mean it.
She was trying to move on, but she was just creating more skeletons.
Carrie Faye Brown, employee and close friend of Mormon millionaires Mina Pahala, may have just given detectives their first suspect in Mina's murder.
Do you think he would have wanted to harm her at all?
I don't know, maybe.
She tells police that the reason she moved to Pleasant Grove was to escape her volatile boyfriend.
They apparently had a little bit of a tumultuous relationship.
I don't have to put up with
it anymore. Oh my God, I'm giving you everything.
It had been on again, off again, on again. I think that he usually was the one that made that decision.
You're not talking to me.
Their last breakup had been so bad that Carrie felt the need to put some distance between them. She had moved to Utah, but found it hard to go cold turkey and do without the relationship. And when the boyfriend started paying Carrie visits, She wasn't able to resist him. But this time, there were consequences.
They started having some weekend visits, and that's when she discovered she was pregnant.
With a baby on the way, Carrie turned to Mina for advice.
She had told Mina that she was having problems with the father of the child, who was in Arizona. And at one point, she told Mina that she was in fear of the father.
Carrie Brown told Mina that she was afraid of him, that he was abusive, and that he was a violent person. She was in an abusive relationship and needed to get away from it.
I really don't like him.
Carrie says Mina advised her to end things with her volatile boyfriend once and for all and keep her distance from him.
You have to protect the baby from him. He's a monster.
Investigators may finally have found a motive for murder.
That crazy lady's been putting all this stuff in your head.
She's not crazy.
If Mina had convinced Carrie to sever her ties with the father of her child, could it have driven the allegedly hot-tempered lover to kill?
You should just leave this guy.
Mina advising Carrie that maybe her life would be better without him, and that her child's life would be better. Well, that's gonna send someone who's prone to violence in a rage.
That's my kid, all right? You're not leaving.
Yeah, I am.
No.
He really was kind of a wild card. We didn't know what he had done. There was some investigating that needed to take place.
But when detectives look into Carrie's boyfriend, they uncover an unsettling piece of information. He's one of their own. Carrie's boyfriend is a police officer in Arizona.
His role as an officer was particularly alarming. Her boyfriend had access to weapons.
Detectives question Carrie's boyfriend. He claims he was nowhere near the crime scene the night Mina was murdered.
I was home. Look, guys, I'm a cop. I don't do stuff like that.
But investigators want to be certain they're not dealing with a dirty cop.
We're gonna need your gun.
I got nothing to hide.
They confiscate his service weapon and run tests on it, only to find it's clean. Actually, a little too clean. The gun has been wiped down. It's almost spotless, but not quite.
Whoever had cleaned the gun did a pretty good job, but they missed some blood.
On the inside of it, there's a very small amount of blood. If you shoot somebody at real close range, you can actually get blood drawn into the weapon.
The telltale specks of blood found inside the barrel are sent for testing, and the results confirm everyone's worst suspicions.
Modern DNA testing was able to show that that was Mina's blood.
Mina's blood was in the barrel of your gun.
What? That can't be right.
We could determine at that point that the firearm was the one used to kill Mina.
It's a huge break in any homicide to determine what the murder weapon is, particularly if only a limited pool of people has access to that weapon.
Police have trouble believing one of their own could be responsible for murder. But it's even harder to believe the boyfriend's explanation. He claims his service weapon went missing around the time of Mina's murder, only to reappear later.
I just thought I maybe stuck it somewhere I forgot. I don't know.
Initially, it was a little vague on the timeline of the gun. And as we interviewed him and tried to narrow some things down, he could not account for that gun.
I did not kill her.
He insists someone else must have pulled the trigger. But who else had access to his sidearm and a motive to kill Mina Pahala? Carrie's boyfriend eagerly offers up an idea.
He did tell us that he had brought the gun into Carrie's residence and at one point had found the gun was moved from the position he left it. And he actually became very upset. And he wasn't upset with me, he was upset with the situation and he was upset with Carrie.
Bring her in here. She had something to do with this, I know it.
He kept demanding that we bring Carrie in because he personally wanted to confront her on this issue.
Is Carrie's boyfriend desperately trying to pin the murder on his girlfriend, who had just given birth after a C-section? He's adamant there are more secrets waiting to be uncovered. And a surprise phone call is about to reveal the biggest secret of all.
Now let me ask you, how much money are we talking about?
This just doesn't add up.
It becomes this tangled web, and you start with lies, and those lies lead to more lies, and pretty soon you're so invested, you're just trying to keep up. And I think it's spun out of control.
Police have the gun that killed Mina Pahala. But the cop who owns it insists he's innocent.
I did not kill her.
And when police receive a surprise phone call from Mina's bank, it changes everything.
Someone from one of the banks, when they heard about Mina's death, and called and said, you know, that there's some problems.
She told me that a lot of money was changing hands.
The bank said, hey, you should take a look at the books. We've had a lot of checks that have bounced, and there's some sort of funny bookkeeping going on there.
When detectives hear that, they waste no time obtaining all of the financial information for the woman that handles Mina's accounting, Carrie Faye Brown.
She was an administrator over accounts payable, accounts receivable. There were subpoenas written for several different banks and companies and anything that we could dig up that financially Carrie had been involved in.
When Carrie's bank account information is in hand, detectives are astounded to discover that she's been hiding a dirty little secret.
These two accounts seem to have a lot more money in them than were accounted for by her salary.
It seems Carrie's been running a secret enterprise right under Mina's nose, stealing tens of thousands of dollars from the business.
It appeared that she was juggling money around. Several payments that were supposed to be going out to different companies were being transferred to Carrie Brown.
I have a few checks I need to deposit as fast as possible.
She had been writing checks as if she were paying bills and actually was depositing it into an account in her own name.
It turns out Mina had so much faith in Carrie that she'd given her control of all the company finances with no supervision.
Carrie had access to all the books, both the money coming in and the money going out, so she had quite a bit of freedom.
And it seems that when Carrie saw the opportunity, she decided to stick her hand in the company cookie jar. Through an elaborate scheme of forged checks, missing records, and diverted payments, Carrie's embezzled more than $30,000 from Mina.
Mina arguably made this mistake a lot of small businesses make, which is that they combine too many duties in one person, so that one person can open the mail and pay the bills and balance the checkbook. It's the way a lot of embezzlements happen, because that person is able to hide it.
Police theorize that when Carrie went into the hospital for a C-section, she knew it was only a matter of time before her web of secrets started to unravel.
When Carrie was out of the office to have this baby, Mina received a call from a vendor who hadn't been paid and was wondering what was going on.
This just doesn't add up.
Mina was able to get into the computer program and realized she had a problem.
There were vendors that were saying, hey, we haven't been paid. And yet on the books, it's showing they have been paid.
If Mina had discovered Carrie's fraud and betrayal, it could be that Carrie saw only one way to keep her dirty secret from being exposed. Murder her boss.
Carrie was living pretty comfortably. She was skimming money off the books. And all of a sudden, that was all going to be gone. And at that point, desperation set in, and her only way out was to kill Mina.
But Carrie was in a hospital bed, recovering from a C-section when Mina was murdered.
Did Carrie persuade her cop boyfriend to kill her boss for her?
There's no way.
He's still adamant he had nothing to do with it.
At that point, he'd flat out stated to my investigators that he thought Carrie had killed Mina.
It has to be Carrie.
You think she could pull a trigger?
Carrie's boyfriend could just be trying to get himself off the hook. But when police look more closely into Carrie's whereabouts the day Mina was murdered, they make a startling discovery. Her boyfriend could be telling the truth after all, because it turns out Carrie wasn't in the hospital when Mina died. According to hospital records, she checked herself out 2 days after her C-section. And instead of convalescing, she went straight to the office.
The fact that Carrie checked herself out of the hospital against the doctor's orders a couple days after having a baby by C-section and then shows up to work seemed very suspicious for a mother to have just given birth, and that not being the number one thing in her life at that moment definitely raised red flags with us that she would just feel that compelled to have to go into work.
Why was Carrie so desperate to return to work? Police are convinced it's because she was afraid the longer she was away, the more likely it was that Mina would uncover her secret recipe for cooking the books.
Mina was going to be in there doing the books, taking over for her while she was recovering from her C-section. Carrie knew what that would lead to.
Hi, I'm calling about my own account.
And that she would be exposed for embezzling close to $40,000.
And I just want to know how and why this happened.
Carrie was hiding a secret, and that secret was about to be exposed.
And police suspect that Mina had already discovered Carrie's fraud. So Carrie stole her boyfriend's gun and set out to murder her surrogate mother before she had the chance to rat her out to police.
I'm not gonna do this.
No, you can't go to the police.
You do not wanna do this, okay? You do not wanna.
In order to cover up that embezzlement, keep it from being discovered, Carrie Faye resorted to the homicide of Mina and then attempted to destroy the evidence by setting fire to the car.
A search of Carrie's apartment provides investigators with evidence that confirms their theory.
Carrie's clothing had gunshot residue on it. That told us that Carrie was at least there when the homicide happened.
Carrie Faye Brown is arrested for killing Mina Pahala. She pleads no contest to second-degree murder and 2 counts of fraud.
No contest means that you aren't saying that you're innocent, but you're not admitting guilt. So she is not saying that she murdered Mina. She's not saying that she had anything to do with it. And she also says, which I find interesting, is she has no remorse. How can I be remorseful, she says, for something I didn't do? To this day, she swears that she had nothing to do with the murder and that she was just tired of fighting, so she decided to plead no contest.
Carrie Faye Brown is sentenced to 30 years in prison. Her insatiable thirst for wealth drove her to kill the one woman who lent her a helping hand, proving that in this case, money really was the root of all evil.
Mina was just a loving, kind, generous person by all accounts. And for no fault of her own, she ended up brutally murdered. And Carrie got caught in a spiral of lies and deceit, and she didn't know a way to get out of it.
This is gonna sound cliche, but I think we can learn that crime doesn't pay. Carrie thought that she could get away with this. Looking at it, ultimately, an avalanche was coming down on her sooner or later. It just wasn't in the cards for her to get away with a crime of this magnitude.